looking at the Christian life illustrated throughout the book. And last week we began looking at verse 1 of chapter 3, a phrase that says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So for a child of God, we can live our lives beholding and knowing that we are loved by God the Father. Now, a lot of people talk about God's love in a general way. They'll make statements, smile, God loves you, and God loves everybody. They speak of a very general love. The love of Christ, or the love of God the Father, is not a general love. It's very particular. It is particular, it is selective, and it's discriminating. And that ought to be a blessing to you and I. Again, it's particular. He loves particular individuals. And he has selected to love those individuals. It's the only way God can love you is if he selects to do so. You did not select for him to love you. He selected to love you. So if his love is particular, if his love is selective, then that makes it discriminating. And that's a word that people do not like today, but it's a good word in many ways. And I thank God that God's love is discriminating. Again, as we have said in the past, God loved Jacob, hated Esau. That's a discriminating, and that is a selective love. There's no other way to look at that. That is discriminating, and that is selective. So when we behold the love of God the Father, we're beholding a particular, a selective, and a discriminating love. For me to think that God loves the one who he's cast into hell as much as the one that's in heaven, that there's not much special about that love. But this is a selective love. This love is eternal. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, "Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love." Has no beginning. God never began to love us. Just always has. You and I like to put things in time frames that you can't put this in a time frame. His love is everlasting. It has no beginning. It has no end. There isn't anything I can do to cause God to stop loving me, just as there was nothing I could do to cause God to love me. You see, if you could do something to cause God to love you, and some believe that, well, if you believe, then he loves you. Well, then if you stop believing, he doesn't love you. And if you follow that logic throughout, there's nothing I can do to cause God to stop loving me. His love's without end. There's nothing I did to cause God to love me. So his love is eternal. Of course, being depraved, his love must be unconditional. It must be uninfluenced. If you and I know anything at all about human nature, if we know anything at all what the Bible teaches about the depravity of man, if God loves anybody, it has to be an unconditional love. It has to be uninfluenced. And as we've said before, there is absolutely no cause for God's love outside of himself. He is the cause of his love. He is the cause of his love toward you and I as individuals. His love is not conditioned upon any merit. It's not conditioned upon any excellence that might be in us. The Bible says there is no good thing in us. We can never be deserving of God's love. You can't be deserving. You can't do anything to deserve God's love. If you could live your life sinless, and if you could serve Him 24/7, you still would not be deserving of God's love. You can't do anything deserving of the love of God. So there's nothing in those who are loved that would cause God to look at us and say, I like that about that person. I'm going to love him. Or cause God to fall in love with us, for lack of a better word. There's nothing in us to prompt it. There's nothing in us to stimulate God to love us. In Ephesians chapter 2, the first three verses, it talks about our depravity, talks about our lifestyle before salvation. And then verse 4 says, but God. There's the change that takes place. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when? Wherewith he loved us, even when? Even when we were dead in sins. But I like those two words, even when. God loved me even when. God loved me even when I had no love whatsoever for him. God loved me even when I was his enemy. God has no friends that were not first enemies. They're all reconciled. God loved me even when I was his enemy. Jesus teaches us, love your enemies. And people will quote that every now and then. That's hard to do. That is very human. Humanly, that is very, very difficult, if not almost impossible. Love your enemies. But that's exactly what God did. He loved his enemies. He loved us even when. Even when we were depraved. Even when we were deceitful. Even when we were degenerate. We were wicked. We were unrighteous. We were filthy. Even then, God loved us. Even when we had hatred and malice in our heart toward him, he loved us. And we are to love those who have hatred and malice in their heart toward us. Again, it's almost humanly impossible to do. But God loved us when we had hatred and malice in our hearts, and when we were fleeing from him and doing our best to escape him. God loved us even when. So his love is unconditional. His love is uninfluenced. His love is infinite. You cannot, though the Bible speaks of the width and the length and the depth of his love, you cannot measure any of those things. His love is infinite. You and I cannot even measure our sin. We say we are totally depraved. Well, really try to imagine that. You cannot really truly comprehend that word totally. Totally. You and I cannot measure our sins. You cannot begin to count the sins of a lifetime. Can't count them. can't even imagine. But his love is infinite. His love goes beyond our guilt. We are all guilty. Question could be asked, how guilty were we? Well, we were as guilty as you can be. You and I cannot really measure how guilty we were. But I know this, his love went beyond my guilt. His love went beyond my sin. His love goes beyond all my shortcomings, all my failures. You cannot measure the many ways in which we fail God. The many ways that we just come short. We come short in everything. Even when we do the very best we can possibly do, we've come short. The glory of God. Even when we do it right, we come short. The glory of God. My point is, you can never measure up. But God's love is infinite. God's love goes beyond our shortcomings. Who can measure our needs? Can't begin to measure our needs. But God's love goes beyond our needs. His love is immutable. It doesn't change. He doesn't love me any more today than he ever has before. He doesn't love me any less. Well, someone says, I haven't been as faithful as I should be. That doesn't change God's love. It doesn't change God's love one iota. His love is immutable. It's always the same. His love, of course, is sacrificial. It is a love that gave all. You and I do not give all. There's no one in danger of giving all. No one. Not one of us is in danger of that. We're not even close. Even if we could give our life, we still haven't really given all. I mean, to give all is to give 24/7. Every second of your life, you are consumed with God. When you think about it in those terms, we give very little. But God's love is sacrificial. He gave all. He gave his only begotten Son. For who? For perishing sinners. And may I say, for sinners who deserved to perish. So his love is sacrificial. His love is invincible. There's nothing that can drown it. Song of Solomon 8, verse 7. Romans chapter 8, we see that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. His love is great. You cannot measure the greatness of God's love. Because he loves me, I have passed from death unto life. It always goes, you look at every blessing of salvation, whatever it is, and it all goes back to this fact. He loved me. Everything I have in salvation goes back to that fact. He loved me. That's the starting point. Though there was no starting point in his love, in our minds, that is the starting point of all the blessings that you and I have. So I have passed from death unto life because he loves me. He has put all my sins under the blood of Jesus Christ because he loves me. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life because he loves me. Because he loves me. I've been redeemed. Because he loves me. Again, no matter how you look at salvation, it goes back to God's love. It doesn't go back to the day I believed. It doesn't go back to the fact that I believed. because I would not have believed had he not done a work in my heart, and he would not have done a work in my heart had he not loved me. It all goes back to the love of God. So John says, behold, behold the love of God. I am a child of God because he loves me. I am accepted in Jesus Christ, accepted in the Beloved, because he loves me. I deserve to be rejected, but because he loves me, I am accepted in the Beloved. I am unacceptable, but because he loves me, I am accepted in the Beloved. I have personal access to God the Father. God the Father has given me an invitation to come to him at any time in my life. Read Hebrews chapter 4. There is a throne of grace, and we are to boldly come to that throne of grace. We can do that not because of anything in us. We can do that because he loves me. When you pray, you can pray because he loves you. He hears those prayers because he loves you. He makes intercession for you in heaven because he loves you. He's your advocate in heaven at the right hand of God because of the love of God the Father. Again, it all goes back. So John says, behold. Behold, consider this love. Brother Mark just talked about our needs being supplied in Christ. And that's true. And that's true because he loves us. Because he loves me, he will supply my needs. And many times, you and I, well, all the time, we do not deserve. We don't deserve to have what we have. But God gives it to us. And he does so because he loves us. Don't ever get the mind thought, well, I worked hard and I deserve. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. And I don't care how hard you work. You don't deserve anything. God deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the credit. And it all goes back to that simple fact. He loved me. And I have victory. I have victory. I have a glorious future. This world, their future isn't very bright. And I'm not just talking about because of the goings-on of today. I'm talking about their eternal future. It's not good. But I have a glorious future. And that's all because of God's love. I have a building in heaven, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's all because of the love of God the Father. So it would do us all good to follow John's exhortation here and behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And we can do that every day of our lives. That's our privilege. That's our opportunity. To just contemplate, to consider, to take time to ponder the fact that God loves me. Spend some time each day thinking about that. And that will change your day. That will change the way that you look at life. That'll change your philosophies. That'll change everything. When you just consider the love of God. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you.